Non-verbal cues play a significant role in understanding verbal messages. Non-verbal communication that accompanies face-to-face contacts either confirms or contradicts verbal messages. Say if you're discussing a performance appraisal with the person at top management. You may be going through tremendous stress. Somewhere it'll show while you are interacting or discussing with the concerned person. So this is what is conveyed ideally through your verbal message. Now, verbal, you may be talking with confidence, with enthusiasm, but somewhere in your body language, it is showing that you are not happy with the way this discussion is moving forward in terms of an appraisal. Body language is a powerful enrichment of communication. While appointing persons to the important positions in marketing and sales, face-to-face interviews offer a richer communication experience owing to the close presence of the living personality whose voice, tone, expression, eye contact and movement adds significance to the words. The person is right in front of you. Is the person stammering or is the person talking with confidence? Though we had a very good example of Shiv Khera that you can turn your weakness into a strength. There was one person who was stammering. Now, he ideally got the best salesman award in his company. How did that happen? So, what did he do? When he went to sell a book door to door, he said, do you want to buy this book? Or shall I read it to you for free? So people said, no, we will buy it. Do not read it to us for free. Now, what are we trying to say out here? That a lot to do, even with the way he spoke, though he was stammering, the way he spoke in terms of his confidence through body language. Of course, there are words, but in this case, if he is stammering, now pardon me, we do not mean to offend someone who is stammering. What we are trying to communicate here is that how do you take advantage of a situation and turn even a weakness into a strength? So, voice, tone, expressions and eye contact add significance to words. Do not tell people what. Tell them how, why and where the job fits into a larger picture too. That means being very clear-cut with instructions. Do not make communication a one-way street. The more interaction you build into your communication, the better. When communication is one way, the opposite person or the people, the receiver, will not feel as a part of the conversation. The receiver may just feel that he or she is constantly being told what to do, but not really given a chance to express what he or she feels. It is very important for any receiver to be able to express what he or she feels. Develop a group involvement mechanism. Invite response, discuss and debate too. We just discussed previously team building. So, you are facilitating effective thinking. What else can be done? You probably get the team together. You ask each one of them probably to discuss the various issues they have faced before in their workplace. How did they deal with it? What were the effective solutions they came up with? This also ideally can be discussed. There can be a healthy debate. You are involving the people. You're making them realize that each one is a part of the organization and thus you're uniting them in a certain manner. Do communicate first through action, then words. What you do in the hallways is even more important than what you say in the meeting. Whatever you want to be implemented, first you follow it so that others follow you. It is said that when the mother hen is pecking grains, out of a brood of 12 or 15 chicks, 5 to 6 or 3 to 4 imitate the mother hen exactly. Why? Because somewhere they're motivated to do exactly what the mother hen does. It is the same in terms of what people see in organizations. Out of a group of 15, 3 to 4 will be want to, 3 or 4, sorry, will exactly want to be like the people at top management. So they will start imitating or aping them and pick up those traits which they know will benefit them. Do not assume that one communication channel fits all. While email may be the perfect way to transmit some messages and the internet may be ideal for others, many messages require a more high-touch approach. That means direct communication, face-to-face communication, communication probably in terms of meeting the person, taking out time to be there face-to-face. Sort through your communication and decide which channel fits which message. Sorry, it's sort through your communication, not communications. So, for face-to-face communication, the more emotional the message or the reaction to the message, the more likely it is that face-to-face will be the best communication strategy. Now, I've told you before in the previous slide that when we say more emotional, we ideally do not have an emotional outburst. It is like we are talking of ethical appeal, logical appeal, emotional appeal. So somewhere we are putting forward our emotions, but not whereby you're overwhelmed, whereby you're going through anxiety, whereby you're expressing your deep-rooted emotions. When I talk of emotions, it means that you are having a skill in the way you put forward the emotions. You cannot be stoic. When I say stoic, that means absolutely emotionless and very rigid. You have to have an emotional connect. That means if I want ideally to discuss and negotiate, I cannot get overtly emotional and say, oh yes, I definitely understand your feelings. Or I cannot say, all right, we just get to this. How do we solve this? So very stoic, no emotion at all. You need to have a balance with your expression and word. Do remember that effective communication also includes body language. Finger pointing, fist pounding, and making gestures are perceived as aggressive. Well, in one culture, the thumbs up sign is considered humiliating. Here, we consider in India the thumbs up sign as all the best, wow, way to go. So, various ways in terms of body language being taken at another level in terms of cultures. On the other hand, smiling too much, speaking too softly, looking at the floor, wringing your hands can seem or make you seem uncertain and indecisive. Do not forget that one of the most important aspects of or important part of communication is listening. And you must really listen. That means complete awareness over what is being told. Giving people your full attention, asking for clarification about things you don't understand, treating people's ideas and concerns as crucial to the organization's success. Very important, whatever ideas conveyed to me, I do not overlook it. No matter how effective I am with ideas, no matter how creative one might be, but I need to be able to understand each one's ideas and get the best out of each one's ideas. So, if an idea is effective, how do I implement it along with my thought process or ideas? One manager uses a short questionnaire to query her audiences before they leave the meeting room. This is considered a very effective way of having interaction. What, in your view, are the most important points we just covered? We had a discussion. It was more than a discussion, a heated debate. So what are the most important points? What did you not understand? So all your doubts and your ambiguity. So how that can be cleared? With what do you disagree? What else do you want to know? Now when I say with what do you disagree, there will be certain views or points you do not agree to. And what else do you want to know? That means, do you feel any other information should be given to you? Please realize that in the information era, communication becomes a part of everyone's job. And like any critical skill, it is the one you can and need to improve with training, practice and coaching. Telephone conversation. Short of talking with someone face to face, a phone call is the best way to get a personal response. If the person you called is available, you can take care of business on the spot. With other forms of communication such as texting or email, you leave a message and hope for a quick response. Phone calls have a vocal backup in form of voicemail. Now say you're in a meeting and after the meeting is over, you realize that you at least have 10 messages left as far as voicemail is concerned. You have to prioritize. Out of 10, 4 of them said it's urgent, please call immediately. So ideally, a lot to do with the message left over the voicemail. The caller can leave a detailed voice message without the restriction of a certain number of characters or typing a text message on a tiny cell phone keypad. Right? When you leave a voicemail, you can say what exactly you've called for. Or otherwise, you send a message. In effective communications, we've noticed earlier, body language accounts for 55%. Voice tone for 38% and spoken words for 7%. That means words only convey 7%, which is, if you go to see, nothing. It's more to do with body language. Just imagine right now while I'm talking to you, if I stand like this and just continue talking, it looks so weird, strange and funny. So a lot to do with effective body language. So when we talk of telephonic conversation, some communications such as condolences, disciplinary issues, sensitive and confidential issues should be handled with a personal phone call. Say for example, if you have to ask a person to leave, that means if his services are no longer required with the organization, then it is extremely important this kind of information is conveyed face to face. But when we talk of disciplinary issues, sensitive and confidential issues, even if these are discussed over the telephone, it is absolutely acceptable. But of course, when we talk of telephonic conversation, you have to be very well prepared with what exactly you want to put forward. That means correct information, appropriate information, appropriate points, neither too lengthy nor too short, so that the receiver feels that you have communicated appropriately and enough as far as information is concerned. Taking the time to make a phone call carries more weight than an impersonal text or email. Because when actually I talk of a phone call, it means that if I have to discuss any of these aspects, it is going to be a bit more time consuming. Because when we discuss, that means telephonic conversation, it'll be two-way. So it will definitely be time consuming. Without the opportunity for two-way communication, sensitive issues may be misinterpreted. Text messages and emails have become legal documents and can be retrieved as evidence long after deletion. The moment you talk of written communication, we have the ability to retrieve a message. So it saves you from a lot of problem. Because these messages can ideally serve as proof. Some businesses monitor and record phone conversations between employees and customers for training purpose. So you have some of these service provider companies. They ideally give a message that your call may be recorded for quality purpose. So in short, there is a recording which is happening while you are communicating. Deleted voicemail messages may not be retrieved and do not leave a record of the conversation. Once it's deleted, it's gone. Telephonic communication, or let's take telephone conversation. Telephone communication involves a combination of effective speaking and listening skills. Now, what is one of the most important aspects when you talk of telephone conversation? When the speaker is giving, say, instructions, it is best not to interrupt. Have the patience to let the person complete, which means that even if the speaker is arguing with you, let the person finish. Only then you should start what you want to say. Also, pauses and gaps for a few seconds, 2-3 seconds, is required when you're talking of telephonic conversation. You must be able to speak clearly and use the correct tone of voice. You must also know when to be quiet and listen. Very important. Your behavior on the telephone can determine a degree of success in life, whether it is as a business person, an employee, or for someone else, or as a person seeking to improve his personal relationships. Yes, how you communicate, your ability to handle the situation well, your ability to be a patient person, all these are aspects which need to be looked into. Always address the other party on the line by his or her name. It is very important to show respect when you're speaking to somebody, whether it's face-to-face or telephonic. This makes the individual feel that you think the contact is important. What name to address the party by depends on how he or she introduces himself or herself to you over the phone. Teleconferencing. Now, when you talk of teleconferencing, what are we talking of? It is meeting through telecommunication medium. When you talk of teleconferencing, it links multiple people at one point of time. When you talk of teleconferencing, it is two-way communication. When you talk of teleconferencing, it is a dynamic way since you're linking people at one point of time. In the past years, corporations have gotten bigger and more spread out. Several busy employees all over the world at least do some of their work from home. Some offices and employees can be quite apart, that means in terms of distance. Getting everyone into the same room for business, meetings or training has become decidedly impractical for a lot of companies. That is why teleconferencing, the real-time exchange of information between people who are not in the same physical space. So for example, they're not here in this space, has become such a big industry, running into billions of dollars in revenue. Now, rather than gathering all the people at one place, spending time with all of them, spending money for effective training, teleconference can serve the purpose, especially when you have audio video. You can see as well as hear. Through teleconferencing, companies can conduct meetings, customer briefs, that means how probably you want to convince a customer about a particular product, how effectively do you go about it. Training, demonstrations, workshops by phone or online instead of in person, that means instead of being face to face. The simplest phone teleconference is a three-way call, available in many homes as a service from the telephone company. Another very simple but not necessarily effective method is to have two groups of people talk to one another via speakerphone. Now, the moment you have a speakerphone, it seems everybody can hear. So that's another way. The limits of three-way calling and the sound quality of speakerphones make both of these options impractical for most business. Conference calls let group of people from a few to hundreds communicate by telephone. Banks and brokerages often use conference calls to give status reports to a large number of listeners. Other businesses use conference calls to help co-workers communicate, plan and brainstorm. Brainstorm, come up with creative ideas. So when you talk of teleconferencing, you're connecting people, you're linking up with people through telecommunication medium. Conference calls connect people through a conference bridge, which is essentially a server that acts like a telephone and can answer multiple calls simultaneously. Software plays a larger role in the bridge's capabilities beyond simply connecting multiple callers. A company can have its own bridge or can contract with a service provider for conferencing call hosting. It's up to you if you go through a service provider or if it is done by the company itself. Companies using voice over internet protocol. Telephones can also host conference calls themselves if the VoIP software supports them. When we talk of voice over internet protocol, we will discuss what it is. Many phone conferencing systems require a login and personal identification number to access the system. Now, when we talk of voice over internet protocol, it is phone service through internet. When I say phone service through internet, it is not through a local phone service. Now, what is the purpose of voice over internet protocol? First and foremost, it is of lower cost as compared to local phone service. And secondly, it has increased functionality. That means in terms of the functions, it is supposed to be more effective. When you talk of PIN, personal identification number, this helps protect confidential and proprietary information during the call. That means all information linked to business can be confidential. Video phones can add a visual element to a conference call, as businesses often need to share other visual information. When I say video phones, that means you are probably sending graphics, you're probably sending pictures, all of it which is required. So it is video. You are able to also see the graphics or the pictures. Web conferencing or webinars allows people to communicate through text and video in addition to audio. The simplest web conferencing methods use chat and instant messages program to host text-based group discussion. More sophisticated programs exchange visual information with webcams and streaming video. So, web conferencing, webcams. That means, again, reaching out to a large audience. Some people allow to share documents. Now, what is the advantage again? You can see, you can transfer text, you can also talk of ideally sharing documents online. So, these are ways and means which probably, if you have a webcam and the opposite person in his office also has a webcam, you can immediately connect as well as see. And then you can transfer documents online. Teleconferencing. Depending on the software, people can view slide presentations from programs like PowerPoints, draw or write on a common whiteboard by using the computer mice or typing, very important. Annotate images and diagrams using the same whiteboard principle. Transmit still pictures or video to other attendees via a webcam. That means via webcam you can transmit pictures to the people who are waiting there to see the information or the pictures. View information from the moderator's computer desktop using screen sharing. The moment you focus on screen sharing, you know and you can see whatever information is there. Thus, we can say that web conferencing refers to a service that allows ideally conferencing. What do we mean by this? It ideally allows conferencing to, that means discussions, talks with people from remote locations. When we talk of web conferencing or webinars, ideally, what is the focus on? We talk of many receivers. When we say annotate images and diagrams, it means explain with notes. So what are we trying to do out here? We're explaining with some information when a diagram is given. Depending on the software, people can share documents even if attendees don't have the software that created them using application sharing. So ideally, when we talk of teleconferencing, most of the times it is said that it is best if both have the software updated. But very often, when you talk of sharing documents, it can be done. Hold interactive question and answer sessions that integrate video and audio. Send public or private messages through instant messaging. So, various ways to send messages. So, thus, we can see out here that when you talk of face-to-face, it has maximum effect because you talk of the words. Since you're face-to-face, it'll be different as compared to telephonic conversation. You talk of your voice, which will mean your tone, your firmness. So, for example, it is said that when you talk of verbal communication, first is a spoken word, then is ideally the firmness or the tone. And then the last aspect, which is called metaverbal, which is more to do with what are you intending to put forward. That means what is the message or what has been ideally put forward to the concerned people. So voice, words, visual, face to face, again the facial expressions, body language, presence of the person, all is covered when you talk of face-to-face communication. When I say face here, it means the eye contact, the facial expressions, gestures, body language, that means movement, right? Say if a person is seated and is continuously shaking his or her leg. So that means that shows a little bit of restlessness, maybe anxiety, those aspects. Video conferencing is words, voice, visuals, face, body language. Person literally not being there. When you talk of telephone and texting, it is literally going to half of the aspects. That means you cannot see the person's face, the person is not in your presence, you cannot figure out the body language, and thus what happens. Say if you call somebody and you say, hi, how are you, and the person says, I'm fine. So on one hand, the person is saying in a tone whereby the person sounds happy, but since it's via telephone, you can't even figure out, since the person saying I'm fine means, look, you know what, I am fine, but why have you called me up, right? So we need to understand these aspects when you talk of communication via face-to-face or otherwise. Great point. It is an informal means of communication within an organization. When we talk of grapevine, it is more a rumor or a gossip. It is unofficial talk. Grapevine can be as simple as a discussion based on someone who has decided to leave after working 25 years in the organization. Grapevine can be as simple as a rumor about a person at top management. It can be probably a discussion based on the recent events, whereas grapevine is more or less for events which have just taken place. For example, a change in the management. So the way of functioning of the organization takes a complete U-turn. Now, grapevine communication is the informal communication network within an organization. It is used to spread information bypassing the formal communication structure. So on this front, it is informal communication. Just like the grapevine plant, it spreads in random ways and goes where it can, right? So it can go in clusters, it can go from one to many, many to many. When I say one to many, means A is sharing some information to B, C, D. When I say many to many, it means B and C are sharing information to D, E, F. So that's how it can spread. The grapevine is formed by individuals and groups in the organization. People in the groups have something in common that links them together. Could be their work, could be objectives, could be ideally just a get together during lunch which binds them together. A person can belong to one or more groups. As an example, a manager can belong to a group of women that go to lunch together every Friday. She can also be or belong to a group of managers in her department that engage into frequent telephone calls about work. Great point, communication. She could ideally have a third group of people scattered throughout the organization from which she receives periodic progress reports about the work. So different groups, different probably way of interacting, because when she meets people who are in a lunch group, the conversation can be casual. When she meets the managers from various other departments, she herself being a manager, probably more related to work and probably more of coordination, problem solving, discussion. So horizontal communication, communication between people of equal status. So different groups, different kind of interaction. The manager in this example is likely to pass information across her three main informal networks. In some ways, she is verifying the accuracy of the rumor she hears. So what are we saying? She is one day with a lunch group, one day with managers, and a third group where ideally she receives periodic progress reports. So in this case, she could share information of one department with the other. That means of one group with the other. In some ways, she's verifying the accuracy of the rumors she hears. When more than one of her networks is in agreement about a given rumor, she is bound to believe it to be true. Great point, thus, is an informal channel of business communication. It is called so because it stretches throughout the organization in all directions, irrespective of the authority levels. So, a diagram which is enough for you to show that communication goes, in this case, from A to B, A to C. In this case, from A to D and to E. So, if you're understanding how it goes from one to the other or others. Great point, communication creates a social bond when none existed. They have some gossip, some unofficial talk which binds them together. People like to talk to one another, whether they talk about work, family, or anything else. Teams become more cohesive when members talk to one another outside of the project or assignment they may be working on. Informal communication lends itself to bonding. The grey point fills in a gap that is left when official information is missing, especially in chaotic or changing times. When you do not get information in an official manner or through ideally the people whom you should get information, then you will resort to unofficial talk, gossip, or rumor. Even in organizations where management is very proactive about communicating change and keeping employees informed, grapevine exists to help fill in the blanks. That means grapevine at times will bring people together. See, at times, even if it is gossip, say if someone has, as I told you sometime back, quit an organization after 25 years, that discussion, that anxiety for a whole lot of people, that workload which could probably affect many people, will probably be a topic of discussion for one and all, and thus it can become chaotic, it can be difficult to implement change, and thus what can happen is that it can become a problem. So gossip, rumor at this juncture will fuel the situation. Grapevine channels carry information rapidly. As soon as an employee gets to know some confidential information, she or he becomes inquisitive and passes the detail then on to his closest or her closest friend, who passes it on to another person. Thus, it spreads hastily. That's why it is said that grapevine spreads like fire. The managers get to know the reactions of their subordinates on their policies. Thus, the feedback obtained is quick compared to formal channel of communication. As said earlier, grapevine creates a sense of unity among the employees who share and discuss their views with each other. Thus, grapevine helps in developing group cohesiveness. So what are the advantages? Speed, it goes really fast. Valuable feedback. Feedback is when the sender ideally gets information from the receiver in relation to a particular situation or an individual. check on emotions, yes, the kind of anxiety created or like a hype created for something happening in the organization. Morale booster. To an extent, it can boost the morale of the people since it binds them together and it is more like a team working together. There are some intrinsic damages or dangers in bypassing the organizational channels to get the facts of the matter. The main danger is that much of the information that gets spread through the grapevine is not verified. Some of the information is likely to be false and difficult, if not impossible, to verify. We discount information when the source is a known gossiper, but not completely. Even if you know a person is a gossiper, we discount most of the time. So that means we assume that, okay, this person has given information just because this person likes gossiping. But you don't give it up 100%. You assume, yeah, there could be some reality in what he or she is saying. Some of the information is likely to be false and difficult, if not impossible, to verify. We discount information when we know that someone has a habit to gossip, but even when the source is someone known to spread rumors, we believe that there is smoke. Since we do not know what part is fire and what is smoke, we accept the whole rumor. That means indirectly, we just assume that this person is saying something which could be to an extent correct. We accept the whole rumor. That means we justify our participation in spreading the rumor and we tell ourselves that part of it must be true. You start convincing yourself that this is correct. You start convincing yourself that this is a rumor. No, it's not a rumor. This is something which everyone needs to know. The main reason why we give credence to a rumor is that it seems to match what we think about a situation or person that the rumor is about. It's also very often, even if you do not think something about a situation or an individual, you start believing. Since the information comes from various channels, since the information is put forward again and again to you, since the information conveys something which you want to start believing in, so you change your thoughts, perceptions and beliefs at that juncture. And you feel, even if this is a rumor, a lot of it is reality. Another main disadvantage of grapevine is that it's often used to spread more than rumors. It is used to spread gossip. You want to, you know, some people take enjoyment in terms of wanting to spread gossip. But rumors are not quite the same as gossip. Both are pieces of information that cannot be verified. But rumors tend to affect organizations or groups of people, while gossip refers to personal matters.